Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sutter, and joined, as always, by my host, Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSutter. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. Also, follow our Locked On Suns Twitter page at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support is very much appreciated. And we might as well get right into it, Brendan. We have a lot to talk about today. We had not only the James Jones press conference, his first as the interim general manager, just to go over what happened this week and then looking ahead. But also, we had sort of the Suns trying to sneak in Jamal Crawford right after that happened. So that's kind of interesting to put on later in the show, if he's a possible free agent signing and what that could do for the roster. And then we'll also have some other discussions as well. So, Brendan, I was there at the press conference today for James Jones. You were watching live on Suns.com, Facebook Live. Let me ask you first, since you were not there, what was just your thoughts of just how James Jones presented himself?
Yeah, I think he's always super passionate when he speaks. I'm always interested and drawn in when he talks. So I'm excited to continue to hear more from him, obviously, in this new role. I think that's something that I have been thinking more about is just, I think I've talked about it even on here before. Like, he's always been somebody that I've tried to latch onto in the limited time that we've had to talk to him. And so I just thought it was cool to get a really prolonged press conference just focused on him. Obviously, the circumstances are a little bit interesting. It's not just him talking now. It's that he is the guy who has to talk as being the general manager. But I still thought he brought up some interesting ideas that kind of reinforced what I already believed about him, which is that he's really, above all, focused on building a culture, building an environment where young guys are going to grow into a winning team. And that seems simple. Like, that's kind of what you would always say if you had a young team. But he, without question, has always gone back to that every time that we've gotten to talk to him. So I just thought that it was nice to hear him continue that and not make any drastic changes now that he does have the head job.
Yeah, before we get into more about Jones, I found it interesting because I asked him at the press conference about Darrell Arthur and his disabled player exception they applied for, because there was no known injury with Arthur when it was announced, because he was fully healthy when he was traded to Brooklyn, passed his physical there. So, and he also passed his physical in Phoenix. So I asked him what the injury was. He did not comment on that. So just an interesting thing to move forward about with Darrell Arthur, because what's your thoughts on them if they get it? Because I have to imagine they'll probably know by Monday. So if it does get accepted, do you think that's when they'll probably pull the trigger on a trade, because they'll have $3.7 million extra in space to work with?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they were hoping for. That, or we'll talk about it at the end, but the Jamal Crawford thing obviously would be most easily done with that extra bit of money. So I think that that's kind of where they are right now. It's also not a coincidence to me that Jones has talked up Trevor Buxton, his interim co-general manager or assistant still, or whatever you want to call him, and his whiz-like capability managing the cap, and then we come up with this kind of, it's not really a loophole. Any team can do it if the situation's right, but I'm sure that Jones was really appreciative to have Buxton come through with this idea, no matter how far-fetched it might seem, not knowing what's going on with Arthur exactly. But it's nice that this could just kind of solve a lot of their problems by itself.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Once that gets announced, I imagine some sort of move will respond with that, and within the next 24 hours once that's announced. If it doesn't happen, though, that's going to be more of a roster crunch, and I might as well ask for even go further. If this doesn't get accepted with Arthur, who's gone then if they do go after a guy like Jamal Crawford? It'd have to be someone like Troy Daniels, maybe even Davon Reed. Do you think they give up on Davon Reed this quickly?
I don't know. It's really tough, because I felt like I had a pretty good feel for who was favored, who was in and out of favor with the front office. And then the front office got entirely switched up. So there's a lot of guys like Davon Reed. I wouldn't have thought necessarily that they would be willing to move on from him, considering they just drafted him. But now there's going to continue to be a lot of different names in charge of this franchise that might not have loyalty to those players. So I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if it was somebody younger like Reed or Harrison. Whereas before, I would have felt like that was a long shot.
Yeah, I just think, obviously, from the beginning, it seemed like Davon Reed was a guy Ryan McDonough locked onto. So that's a McDonough draft pick alongside Dragan Bender. I don't think Bender would get cut, obviously, but if Davon Reed does get released, I'll keep coming back to it. Just the thing that will always haunt me personally is that they passed on Davon. They picked Davon Reed, but they passed on Jordan Bell. And I think Bell would have been so good in the Phoenix system, but that's here nor there. So
what was your biggest being there? What was your biggest takeaway from talking to Jones and hearing his message for the first time as general manager?
I think for me personally, it was just talking basketball. He's really comfortable with it. He seems like a guy that controls the room too. That's really important when you talk about like future free agency stuff, possible trying like player relations stuff. You know, he knows what he's talking about. You can tell he has a really extreme basketball mind. Not like, I wouldn't say like a, I mean, I don't really wouldn't say elite general manager sort of mind, but he has like, he's basketball savvy. And that's something that's really interesting. That
he's super laid back while also, like you said, just everybody's absorbed in what he's saying because he's so intricate with the way that he crafts like what he's trying to communicate to you. He doesn't do it in a, you know, he's not yelling, but you want to listen.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also three championships, he can just pull the rings out on his finger in free agency meetings as well. I mean, he's been with LeBron through seven straight finals, so he has a lot of relations around the league. I think that's also a big factor. We touched on on Thursday's episode, but I feel like the player relations thing is something that I keep coming back to because, as you mentioned in your point, Brendan, about him just talking about overall wanting to just bring cohesiveness to the situation. And I think that him being able to do that and prove and establish a culture, so to say, because that's exactly what they're trying to do with these young guys. If you're an ultimate competitor, I think that's what he wants from these guys. That's what he pointed out with Mikal Bridges as well. He specifically pointed out how his winning attributes from Villanova is transferring over to the Suns roster. DeAndre Ayton's really impressing, and it's helping his teammates too, that his defense, he's buying into that super early on. So I just feel like James Jones, his just overall player relations is a big thing as well. And I think that's why ultimately Sarver chose him over McDonough.
Yeah, I definitely think that is becoming more clear now. You don't get props for those situations never cropping up. I mean, I guess in Phoenix, maybe you do. There's been some progress just by way of not having any disasters from an internal communication standpoint, but you don't get a trophy for not having failure. You get a trophy for making changes. So it's not going to be the kind of thing where if Jones just returns that stuff, just talking and communicating and doing so effectively with players to a normal level that there aren't just like complete failures every season, that's not going to show up. So I'm interested to see that obviously was a lot. I mean, it's not even just reporting that that's what Sarver said was originally the interest that he had in bringing Jones in was to do exactly that. So I wonder kind of what the next level of that is. And that's why I've been so focused in on just the regimented behind the scenes, just day-to-day systems that Jones wants to and already has implemented. I think that is kind of the next step where everybody's on the same page. Now let's take advantage of that and actually have that be where these guys are working for one another and working with one another to actually craft like a team and a culture. That's the next step of having a team that gets along is to make those guys really want to play for and work with one another on a day-to-day basis. And I'm excited to see where he goes with that because that's been his focus since he got here.
Another really interesting point, Brennan, that's kind of contradicting itself a few days afterwards is Robert Sarver's appearance in 98.7 with Burns and Gambo. He talked about the switch has flipped to winning and he wants to hopefully be in the play. He didn't outright say it, but he really spoke like a guy who wants to be in the playoffs soon. But James Jones, on the other hand, preached at today's press conference about development. Win-loss totals did not matter this year, just about development of the overall players. So are there mixed messages being sent in the overall Suns office right now just about Sarver wanting to win, and then Jones comes out today and just says this year is not about winning, it's just about development again?
Well, that is exactly where I was hoping we would go. But before I answer that question, I'm going to tell people one more time about Locked On NBA. I hope that you guys at least tuned in, if not already subscribed to the Locked On NBA national show that our network puts on, to at least tune in to Evan and I's Suns preview. But if you didn't, or you want more of that show, all those preview episodes will still be there. The last one came out today, and starting Monday, we're going to be on the normal schedule over there at Locked On NBA. So you won't be hearing from Evan and I every week like you did this week, but every Monday there's going to be local experts talking, telling the biggest stories. You can get them everywhere that you already get podcasts like ours, Locked On Suns, and it's a pretty similar rhythm and format that you guys are already familiar with. So I just wanted to shout that out one more time as we get ready for the season. Sun season starts Wednesday, but you can get geared up for the Tuesday games and everything else at Locked On NBA. Okay, now, yes, I think that it was completely interesting that those guys had such drastically different perceptions of what this season meant. Now, I actually think Jones is more well-spoken than Sarver. Sarver was kind of awkward to listen to in that interview. He kept sounding like he was done talking, and then I think he wanted to get more in to say his piece, but he really wasn't giving anything also. So that was tough to really read a lot into for me, but I think it was interesting that Jones kind of had the same overall message that McDonough preached for his 5 years here. Like, it wasn't a complete departure from that like we might have expected.
Yeah, that's what really threw me off as well, because I thought that Jones would come out and say, yep, we're going to try to aim for the playoffs this year. DeAndre Ayton's looked really good. It's interesting he came out and said that Ayton's the best overall player in preseason, which really, that's not really that hard of a debate, because he was at the top of almost a lot of statistics, also advanced statistics as well. But with Booker and Ayton, I thought he would say it's time to go at least try to push up the Western Conference standings. He did not say that. He also spoke about Elie Okobo developing, spoke about Mikal Bridges developing, Josh Jackson playmaking, and also, like I mentioned, Booker and Ayton. So I just don't know what to think anymore, because you have to think a trade is coming, but then when he was asked outright about the point guard situation by Kellen Olson of Arizona Sports, he said, is this team going to be the most improved team in the league, like Ryan McDonough said at Media Day? And Jones just kind of directed it and switched it around and said, I trust the guys we have. And it seemed like McDonough wasn't saying that earlier. So I'm just speculating here, but do you think maybe we thought wrong all along in that Ryan McDonough was trying to make a panic trade and that's why he got fired? Because if they don't make a trade here soon, or at least if it turns into Jamal Crawford and it's not a trade, that just really confuses me at the timing of the firing.
Yeah, I think not to steal words out of people's mouths, but I thought that Dan Bickley on their show today said it, just crystallized it in a way that I was frustrated that I didn't even think of sooner. And I guess we've been talking about it, but he just was putting it so blatantly that I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. How in the world can James Jones make it even days, but especially weeks? Like, if this drags on into November and they don't have a point guard, even if we assume that they're going to be on the look for one throughout the whole entire season, if that doesn't happen soon, how on earth do you continue to back up the firing of Ryan McDonough with any type of logical reasoning? It makes absolutely no sense how you could say that there was really any impetus to making that decision on the part of Sarver when that was pretty clearly seemed to be what it was. And now we're in a position where it seems no closer to happening than it was when Ryan McDonough was still in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's just so confusing to me, Brendan, because you think a move is coming, and after today, I feel like it's more likely it's not, but that might be just James Jones. He was very vague today, I might say, in a lot of answers, so he could just be misdirecting there. So I don't really know what to think, but overall, just from the takeaways from James Jones' press conference, Brendan, what else stood out to you?
I don't know. I think one of the things, like you said, he didn't say a ton, so I don't feel like we learned a bunch about what his primary focus is going to be in the short term, like what types of things we'll see change right away. Maybe there won't be. Maybe that's part of why Sarver's leaning that way, and that he is genuinely excited about what's going on in this franchise. And he feels like the last few months or the last year or so has been about what he wanted. And it was just something about McDonough that had to go, but we won't see huge changes. I don't know, but I think the one of the only other things I keyed into with Jones today was when he was asked about Sarver actually couldn't tell from voice who asked the question, but just, you know, the guy said, like, we all know the rumors about how involved Robert Sarver is. Do you feel like you have a relationship, or how do you go about handling day to day when there is so much wonder about the owner's involvement? And he like smiled and laughed, Jones did, and said, you know, Sarver's just super passionate, and that's something that has always been a plus in my mind. And I was like, how in the world? But maybe those guys really do get along. Now that could change in an instant when Jones is actually running the team day to day and gets to feel what that pressure and, you know, being looked over your shoulder is like. Maybe it changes, but for right now, it kind of came off like the stuff we've heard about how close those two have been was pretty legit.
It seems like from the beginning there that we go back and just read the tea leaves that maybe it feels like Sarver, this is his first real GM that he's wanted this entire time, because he outright recruited James Jones. McDonough obviously wasn't the one recruiting him. And then you think about it more, he convinces James Jones to retire, get into his front office. He then ultimately, a year and a half later, really just almost a year later, fires Ryan McDonough. Then Jones fires all the guys he knew ahead of time. He was already forming a scouting staff. So it feels like some of this was, I don't want to say done behind McDonough's back, but it's just weird to think that McDonough didn't see this coming when you see the reports from Woj's story that say that Jones already was forming a scouting staff less than really 24 hours after the hiring was made official.
Yeah, I don't feel like we'll ever necessarily have an explanation for that. We also don't know that McDonough didn't see it coming. I mean,
yeah,
there's really nothing saying that he did or didn't. He just got fired and we haven't heard from him. We won't hear from him. But it's just kind of weird knowing that some of that stuff happened. I think what really complicates it is just that it seems like, okay, Sarver and Jones have a good relationship. That probably has been true ever since he hired him, if not before. Maybe even since Jones was on the Suns like 12 years ago. Maybe they've stayed in contact and maintained a good relationship. Jones has been successful in the stuff that he's been involved with. From, I think he was probably pretty involved in that Mikal Bridges trade, considering how
definitely
glowingly he speaks about Bridges and how much he talks about, you know, the modern NBA and versatility and that type of thing. I think it's pretty easy to read between the lines that that Bridges deal had James Jones' imprint on it. And that, I think, was pretty widely praised. At least, you know, some people overvalue that Miami pick, but I think a lot of people were excited about bringing Bridges in. So all these things Jones has done well, and he has a good relationship, and he comes out and already has kind of a pretty comfortable, secure vision about what he wants to do. It's not so much that I care on like a basketball level whether McDonough knew or should have known or could have seen it coming and done something differently. It's that just makes it so much more ridiculous that it happened 9 days before the season. This guy's been doing this job and doing it well and creating good relationships for over a year, and we waited until just over a week before the season to make this call.
Yeah, 9 days. It just speaks of dysfunction like it was last year with Earl Watson. Interesting enough, he had a report today with Chris Hansen as a video, or Chris Haynes, and he said overall he had an ultimatum from ownership 2 weeks into the season. I don't know what that was all about, but we could talk about that later on, maybe next week. But before we go into our discussion about Jamal Crawford, one more question I want to throw your way, Brennan, just about Sarver and Jones, because it just really genuinely is curious for me. And that's, do you think that Robert Sarver just trusted outright James Jones more with what looks like if they declined Dragan Bender's option, $40 million in cap space? Do you think that with James Jones at the helm instead of Ryan McDonough, that can immediately help them in free agency as well?
Just having Jones there?
Yeah, instead of McDonough, who has had like a bad reputation, so to say, with a lot of guys.
Oh, I hope so. It's kind of tough to tell because they sat out this year, basically. But, I mean, we assume money kind of just talked to Trevor Ariza in a way that it wasn't going to around the league. But, you know, I definitely don't think it hurts to have, when you consider who else is in the front office, it's not just that it's James Jones compared to Ryan McDonough, it's no one else in the entire Suns front office has the background as a player and a really lifelong competitive player, not just somebody who had a cup of coffee in the league like as James Jones. These are all guys who came up through scouting and took that path. Buckstein is, you know, tends to lean toward the cap side of things. McDonough was a scout. Connolly's whole family is front office, but no playing experience, no coaching experience. So I think it's just, you have to kind of look at that and wonder, you're not sure who did what, but I think Jones definitely brings a perspective that I think a lot of players would prefer to deal with and prefer to play for and play with than somebody like McDonough. And I don't think that's even tough to say because we saw time and time again McDonough failing. And then the day he got fired on Twitter, you could look around and see players almost celebrating.
Yeah, that's just the craziness and the dysfunction of the Phoenix Suns recently over the past few years, which is kind of sad to say. But let's finally go into the Jamal Crawford situation because that really caught my eye earlier. One of the Cronkite news reporters tweeted a video of Jamal Crawford about 10 minutes, 15 minutes afterwards of the press conference. I already left by then because I went and wrote my story. But Crawford walked in with a Suns employee he went up the escalator, presumably to meet with, as John Gambardella reported, Igor Kokoschkov and James Jones. So like we said earlier, the $3.7 million, if they do get it for Darrell Arthur, that probably makes the most sense to get Jamal Crawford in here. But I really hope that Jamal Crawford isn't just putting a band-aid on the guard situation because he can't be the answer right now.
I don't really understand why he would be. I guess, you know, they've made an emphasis on bringing veterans in. That's important.
They already have so many, though. I mean, they have Tyson.
No, I don't. I'm grasping for straws. I agree with you. There's no real reason that this guy would help the team. You know, what this team really probably needs, and as far as that, I mean, it's a point guard, but they need defense and shooting. I mean, every team in the league could use more of that, but this team especially could. That what they did add in that department was largely young, outside of Trevor Ariza. And so I think, you know, more defense, more shooting would be what I would want. Off-ball shooting, spot-up shooting. Jamal Crawford is really neither of those things. He needs the ball in his hand. He's really, even in his prime, wasn't a great defender. Now he's really hasn't been productive on that end for years and years, and he's getting up there in age. Probably not somebody who's going to play a whole ton. When you have the opportunity with something like the Arthur player, disabled player exception, or the flexibility to make a trade like the Suns have, you want a guy with upside. And Crawford, while he might make an impact in the locker room, it just seems like there's really no upside to a deal like that. There's no way that goes right and he just exceeds what you're expecting as far as value on the court. We know what he is, and really what he is not what the Suns need. So I hope that I don't know. He was in the building. Like, well, you can't really read too much into that. That's obviously interest. So who knows? But I think that would be a real mistake.
Yeah, $3.7 million as well. If he does fill that DP, if they get it, just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, they could sign him for less. They could just do a veterans minimum and not use that whole amount of money.
That's true. But overall, unless Jamal Crawford is 38, he's really close to 40 at this point. I mean, do you think they need a guy to fill a Jason Terry kind of role like he does in Milwaukee? I mean, I just don't see the reasoning behind that unless they really think that Troy Daniels isn't grasping the offense or they really just giving up on Davon Reed.
And he's not even Jason Terry. I feel like Jason Terry would be a better fit. I wouldn't want him, but he's at least the shooting part of the shooting and defense that the Suns need. And he can handle the ball in a pinch, which Crawford can too, but Terry can kind of play like a real point guard. Crawford, I don't know what his place in the league is at this point. Probably on a really good team playing very few minutes, and that's not what the Suns would offer him at all, obviously.
Yeah, hopefully, I mean, we're both in agreement here that the signing wouldn't be good, but looking at it from a positive viewpoint, he was voted the teammate of the year last year, so he would obviously be a locker room presence. And if we're looking at it from a veteran...
And then he wanted to leave, and the team imploded behind him. So it's tough. Yeah. It's like, did he really make that positive of an impact when those guys are all screaming at each other now and he wanted to leave too? Like, I don't know. I'm not saying he's a bad teammate, but I also don't think he's just like this magic switch either, you know?
Oh, for sure. But I feel like Ariza, they have at the wing, they have Anderson as Bender's kind of mentor. They have Tyson with Aiden, maybe Jamal Crawford's out for like a Kobo and Melton. But if that's the case, why not just keep Isaiah Kanan around for his non-guaranteed contract? Just wave Shaq. I mean, I feel like Kanan could bring the exact same things Crawford could.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, part of what you're trying to find too in any of these players is somebody who you can hopefully build and make a part of the next good Suns team. Like, not all these guys are going to be around by then, but you want somebody, if you have the opportunity to go out and get a player, in my mind, you should be targeting a guy who has the capacity to grow and become a part of the primes of the rest of the guys' careers. And Crawford clearly isn't that. And like you said, there's only so many veterans you can have to kind of create good habits and things like that. You also need to play the young players. And it's nice to be able to have a guy at every position who can be a mentor, but at a certain point, those guys are just eating up playing time. And especially when they don't fit well, like Crawford, it just doesn't make a whole ton of sense.
Before we go today, I wanted to tell you guys about Locked On Fantasy Football, because they run a really good show over there with Vinny Iyer. They're one of the top 50 podcasts out there. They always are growing support. I know the NFL Network as well for Locked On. I listen to the Colts all the time because I'm a Colts fan from Indiana. They have Locked On Cardinals as well. So go over there and support them on the NFL Network. I know you guys enjoy our NBA content, but they bring equally as impressive content over the NFL side as well. So make sure to go follow Locked On NFL on all their platforms, guys. But before we go, I wanted to ask you really quickly, Brendan, since we won't be recording again until Monday, unless something does break, I might as well just ask you right now, do you think the Suns make a trade between now and Monday?
I don't.
Oh, man. At that point, what happens if they don't make a trade by Monday? Do you think they just roll with what they have? Because I know we might have touched on the last episode, but I feel like if you're making a deal, it has to be before the extension deadline. Because I know quickly, Terry Rozier was a guy that declined his extension offer from the Celtics today, and he wants to be a star next year. So that's someone to keep an eye on. Just looking forward to the deadline, or maybe this week, who knows? But I think if a trade is to be made, it would be sometime soon, but it's just a worrisome sign.
Yeah, it is. But I guess I'm just basing it off of what Jones said today. This stuff changes like every single day. I feel like we kind of have a new tidbit that makes us feel one way or the other. But the truth is, we won't really know it until we see it. That's been obviously the name of the game for this team after this week's big news. So I guess I'm done guessing is maybe the easiest way to say it. But I think after what Jones said today, he seems pretty content rolling with what they have until something good comes their way. And I don't know if that happens in the next 2 days, but it certainly could. And I would be excited if it did, but you know, we've been waiting over a month now. And so I guess maybe I'm just kind of done hoping for it.
That's kind of like me on Dragon Bender Island, but
yeah, exactly. You're done.
But hey, I appreciate everyone listening in. If something does break in the next 48 hours, we'll definitely be back with an emergency episode. But until then, we'll talk to you guys again on Monday.